Doubt is my only limit. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Doubt is my only limit. Now, isn't that fascinating? Just imagine if we could take doubt and throw it out so that we did not have it around, we would be unlimited. Unlimited. Now, it's just D-O-U-B-T, five letters. Five letters. And Anthony, can you help me figure out a way to throw doubt out so that it no longer has any place in my life or your life or anybody else's life? Just think, we'd be unlimited. Mm-hmm. We could do anything that our mind thinks about. Now, I would like all of you to take my next course that I'm going to conduct. It will take about 40, 50 years, and it's called How to Get Rid of Doubt. Now, if you sign up now, we'll give you a discount.
Okay.
I know one.
You sign up now and give it a discount. It's only $30,000. But if you do it in the long run, it's going to be $2
million.
Oh, no. So that's a nice saving. Instantly, right. Okay, now. And then I have another course, a parallel course that's being taught, and it's called I Am the Allness.
Yeah, that's what I think.
And the Allness has no tuition. It has no time limit. That is, it has no time program. It is not part of the school of the master. It is the last step to stepping into absolute awareness. You see, once you know that you're the allness, then you step into absolute awareness. And when you're in absolute awareness, then there is only the nothingness and the allness, you know. You see, what we don't know about right now, we know all about what we think we know about the allness. But we don't really know anything about the nothingness. And just imagine, Anthony, can you tell me what the nothingness is?
Nothing.
And I look at Anthony's shirt here. It's a black shirt with some white in the middle of it. And the white might be the allness, and the black might be the nothingness, you know. Now, what is the nothingness? The nothingness is where we are untouched, one-pointed, unpossessed, non-judgmental. We are self-determined, self-dedicated, self-diligent, self-disciplined. We are all these neat things expressing as unconditional love, except you will only express the unconditional love for a moment, and then it will have no purpose for being, because you will have nothing to love. You'll have nothing to appreciate. You'll have nothing to respect. You'll have nothing to be human with, because you'll be living in the absolute or the divine and the allness. Now, doubt is my only limit. Why do we say doubt is our only limit? We say doubt is our only limit because doubt is that which says that something is impossible. And nothing is impossible. But if you say something is impossible, then you pretend. Now, I was trying to give her other names. Rhonda, our candidate for her doctoral in metaphysics, wrote about how she teaches her son to have limits. And she teaches her son to pretend. And so he pretends, aha, he pretends, oh so, yeah, yeah, yeah. See, she doesn't remember writing that, but he pretends him. Now, what could she have done? She could have taught him not to pretend, but to say, it is so. So, aha, is an illumination of your inner consciousness, revealing the allness that you are. No pretense. That's no game. That's your a game is okay, but it's your reality. That's who you are. And when we say the word pretend, Let's pretend that we're this. Well, that's nice too. But let's be that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you think the little children playing in their sandbox are pretending?
No.
Or are they being it?
Being it.
They are being whatever game they're playing, and they cannot conceive how you cannot understand how that is real. That is very real for them. And they have their little friends and so forth, and they're very real to them. You see, we have had that awareness of the allness, of the isness, and we have had that awareness of the absolute. And then we have taught our children not to do it as we were taught not to do it. As every generation comes along, and what is the most hideous thing in the world, the most difficult thing in the world for anyone to accept or anyone to believe in? What's the most difficult thing? You don't probably have the answer, but the most difficult thing is the unknown. What you don't know is what you fear. What you don't understand is what you fear. What is our statement that we say? I know that I know. The divine in me is the answer. What's that statement we say?
I know that I know that I know.
The divine in me knows
the answer. By this, I mean make it louder so that you could be heard. You know?
I know that I know that I know.
Right. The divine in me is the answer. I know that I know that I know. I know that I know that I know. And when we start saying things like that about ourselves, we're returning to our original purity and integrity. We're returning to our childhood. We're returning to when we believed all these things and were all these things. You see, when you don't believe it, you don't practice it anymore. Do you believe you can drive a car? And if you don't believe you can drive a car, you won't drive, you know? Emergency might come along, but you won't drive. But when you believe you can do anything, you can do it. Now, Anita, remember how crazy she was? We said, who's going to bring the tractor up to the house, remember? And she says, I will. And I said, great. And she says, how do you drive it? Show me how it works. And so we showed her how to do it, and she did it. But the thing is, that's the consciousness you want. That's that consciousness that knows no limitation, knows no doubt. And when we can live in the consciousness that knows no doubt, we can do anything, anything that we want to do, and enjoy it very much. Are you ready for that kind of a life?
Yes, I am.
Yes. We're ready for that kind of life. How are we going to get it? You can take the course in how to get rid of doubt, and you can, the advanced donation or tuition is $30,000, but later at the door, tuition is, $3 million? Something like that.
$2 million.
You remember, huh? Well, you know, I was with Dolores Cheeks visiting with her friend who was selling a garage sale type of thing, you know. And so as I would talk to this lady, I would say, well, how much do you want for this? She said, oh, 50 cents. And then I'd say, well, how much do you want for this? Oh, you know, a dollar, something like that, or $5 or $10. And I'd say, well, how much do you want for this? And I went back to that same thing that was 50 cents. And she said, oh, $3. She was never the same on the prices, you know. And so every time I turn around, the price, and then Dolores would correct her and say, well, you got this little tab on here and it says $3. You know? Oh, yo. But she had a reminder about these things. But this is wonderful. You see, it doesn't really matter what the price is.
But be consistent.
Well, it is about being consistent. If you are going to say, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, and then the next minute you're going to say you have a problem, you're going to have to go to the doctor, you're going to have to do this, do that, do the other thing, then your whole and perfect is whoosh, shot right out the window. Now, is that what you want to do? And if that's not what you want to do, then don't prepare yourself for that. And you prepare yourself for that with doubt. And we can all let doubt go and never darken our door again if we keep our light turned on. Now, all of us have the same privilege. Rhonda's sitting here in a dim mode, and Ingeborg sitting here in the little less than dim mode, and Sylvia sitting here in a erratic mode, vroom, vroom, up, down, and Ellen is sitting here basically in the high zone, but she doesn't know what she's seeing. And Anthony is sitting here in the
nothingness.
No. He's sitting here in the ability to see everything clearly, and he keeps closing his eyes. Now, what am I saying? I am saying that each of us are a light. Each of us have the charisma within us to see and be and do anything we want to do. And if we will not learn where the rheostat is within us. Do you know where the rheostat is within you? Yeah, I told you.
Hypothalamus?
Huh?
The hypothalamus?
No. If it were so simple as that, it being a particular place, then everybody would find it. But your rheostat is in your consciousness. He's going to give you the answer there. Your rheostat, oh yeah, she's got red cherry or all over. But anyway, your rheostat is your attitude. When your attitude is in high gear, your light is glowing. When I am in high gear and I take a walk in the middle of the night and it's dark, pitch black, you can't see a thing. It's like everywhere I look, it's daylight. You know, everywhere I look, I can see just as clear as can be. I don't see the whole countryside because I'm not really looking there. But I look at the path and I see it all clear as a bell. Just no flashlight. All. You see what I'm working with here? You see that, Anthony? You see? I said the path was clear in front of me. I could see it. She said, with your flashlight, huh? Well, thanks a lot, huh? Thanks a lot. And Ingeborg, why is it that your light is not as bright as it could be? Because there are times you want to act like an old lady. And whenever you act like an old lady, you waddle along and your light's not bright and you bring out your flashlights and everything. Now, all of you are a bunch of not learning people. I walk the path in the morning and I'm walking it maybe several times. And as I'm walking around, I don't have my light, and I'm looking around and I see lights here and there. And the sky is bright as day. And you're using your flashlights because you're up in an early hour and it should be dark out. So you're using your flashlights not because you need them, but because you think it's that time of day you should use the flashlights. Well, stop using the flashlights as much as possible and start getting your inner light revved up. You know, they have a special gadget that they sell these days for cellular phones and cameras and other things that you got to whip up a little bit extra energy on, and you take this handle and you turn this little thing and you turn it for a minute or two and you get maybe 10 minutes of talk, you know, which is pretty nice, except that I don't know why people let their batteries get that low, because you plug them in. Nonetheless, now that little generator that you turn by hand is something the mind thought of. The mind created. Now, we can do that with our minds. How many of you have heard of the Tesla coil projects where people put a light bulb in their mouth and it lights up? Have you ever seen that?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's ordinary stuff. Yes, you were going to make a comment on that?
No, I've seen it.
You've seen it, yeah. Well, it works. It works very beautifully. And it's a generation of electricity within the body. And the body has it. And you know what they're doing? They're designing new hearing aids for people, which are going to have the energy generated by your body chemistry itself. So that it'll always be operative because it's operating on your own body energy. And they have a new sight system that they're developing for people. And they're putting a little chip here, and they're having something behind the ear here where the eye would be able to see, because it's a little television screen, and then the television camera, and then it's sending images back to the brain, and the brain is interpreting it just like it would do if you had an eye. And I tell you, it's amazing the things, but they're using the body energy to handle that. Can you imagine that?
Okay.
How fantastic. Yes, Ingrid.
I found it out with a flashlight, and the flashlight is a little bit down. I speak to the flashlight, keep it strong in my hand, and it warms up, and it gets continued.
So Ingeborg says that when she is out with her flashlight, and her flashlight wants to go out on her, and it's getting dim, she warms it up with her hand, and she says, "You're just fine, flashlight, glow and burn beautifully. You do just fine." Something like that, Ingeborg?
Yeah.
And then the flashlight gives her sufficient light to walk where she wants to walk. Now, that's not a joke. Many people have done that. And you will find that if, and you look at these, well, now what happened to Madame Curie, remember? She was making one experiment and she came up with another thing.
Mm-hmm.
What'd she come up with?
Radium.
She came up with radium. Now, how did she come up with radium? Because she was developing these things, and in her laboratory chemistry thing, something went wrong with her actual experiment to bring about the radium. Now, this is what happens to us. She was of the school that the radium could not be created or worked on because she didn't have the materials to do it. But her mind, in the back of her mind, was saying, there's a way to do this, there's a way to do this. If you won't cooperate, I'll have it happen by accident, you know. I'll have it take place without your help. And this is how it happens with many scientists. What happened to Einstein many times? He would wake up in the middle of the night and he'd write down the answers to formulas that he was thinking about. That's the, what was his great formula? E equals MC squared?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he wrote that down after a dream. The divine in him told. Now, why would the divine in him tell him that particular formula if that particular formula was not known? Because we know all things, and all we have to do is open our consciousness up to reveal it. Now, you take these autistic children who instantly come up with the answers to tremendous problems, really heavy-duty problems. Why don't we? Because we have told ourselves we can't do it. And yes, they are blessed insofar as they have the veil pulled away from not knowing in their minds, and they just know. That's a heavy price to pay, autism, for that. But I think one day we'll come to the conclusion of what autism is, and that'll be handled very nicely too. So, these are the things about this that we're talking about. Doubt is my only limit. What doubts do you have? Don't think about them. Think about you can do everything you want to do. I have given you enough illustrations, Anthony, in this couple of days here, to show you that if you put the cause in motion, you will have perfectly viable concepts that you can be utilizing. You have perfectly useful ideas to bring about any dream you have in your mind, any dream. And you can have it. You can have your music system. You can have your plane, your seaplane or your land plane. You can have gigs over in Singapore and in wherever you want in the world, you know, maybe even Las Vegas. How about that? Would you like to be on the strip and play? Uh-huh. And would you like to be a Bobby Darin, or what would you like to be? I don't know these people. Let's see, the Beatles or whoever.
Grateful Dead.
The Grateful Dead. Ah, so you want to be like the Grateful Dead, or you want to be in that genre?
In that
ballpark. Okay. So, what are you going to call yourself? Have you any idea yet? You're going to call yourself Grateful Living?
The Mud Skipper.
Huh?
No, that's.
What's that?
No, that's totally different.
But, no, as you do this, is he already a success?
Yes.
Has he come to the conclusion he's a success?
Yes.
Is he going to demonstrate that in his youth?
Yes.
You're 14. That's old enough. Now get out there and earn a living. Get out there and perform some wonderful magic that you can perform. And I make a recommendation to you. Get yourself a good financial advisor to work with you. Not your mother, not your dad. They're perfectly wonderful people, but they have not demonstrated in their own lives that they are good financial managers yet. And you want someone who can demonstrate that, so that when they take your money and invest it, that you'll be a multi-billionaire in no time. Is that okay with you? Mm-hmm. Okay. Is that okay with you?
Yes.
Now, what will you do for Anthony while he's doing this? Will you see him as a fabulously successful in anything he chooses to do? Mm-hmm. Anything?
Yes.
And keep your bloated nothingness out of the way?
Yeah. Yes.
Just simply see him successful in any... Is that okay with you, Anthony? No nosiness in there. No trying to tell him that that's too expensive or that's too cheap. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, some of these early bands were made up of wash tubs and ropes and sticks and boom, 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 boom. And you know, they were good. They were good. And guitars and other things. And so there's no reason why you too can't have something utterly fantastic that no one has ever dreamed about. Recorders are a nice instrument too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know that. So think about these things. And as you think about these things, let's see results. So doubt used to be a limit, but doubt has just been buried and it will never be retrieved again. Have a lovely day. Know that I love you very, 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 very much. And I bless you with all my heart, my soul, my being. And I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.